Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Couple of announcements. Hog on the Hill is coming October the 27th, 4 to 7 p.m. Put that on your calendar. New members and guests training called Starting Point will be offered by Brother Nick at 9:45 on November the 3rd and 2:26. I'm sure they'll give that again so you won't forget it. Asbury's starting a youth basketball league for grades 7 through 12. Please see Diane Wright or Steve Adkins for details. And for everyone, please fill out the attendance pads at the ends of the pew. We want to have a record of your attendance. And now as we enter our worship, we invite everybody to pass the peace of Christ. Please stand for the call to worship. We are called to go and share Christ's love with the world. We gather to grow deeper in faith. We learn to recognize grace everywhere, in every life. We wait for God's saving love. We remember our purpose through the means of grace. God's love is remaking the world. Now please remain standing for our hymn of praise, Holy, 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 number 64 in your hymnal. Children, to meet Ms. Joan. If you'll come to the front, please.
Good morning. How are y'all this morning? Everybody ready to get going with the day? No? Well, I have something I need for you to do for me this morning, okay? I'm going to tell you some things, and I want you to stand up if you agree with me, okay? So when I say it, if you agree with me, stand up. And there's no right or wrong answer, okay? It's if you agree, stand up. If you don't, stay seated, okay? Ready? Everybody awake enough? Okay. First one. People who live beside you are your neighbors. People who live beside you are your neighbors. If you agree with that, stand up. If you don't, stay seated. You don't think the people that live next door to you are your neighbors? No? No? Okay. Like I said, no right or wrong answer, right? So if you saw somebody that you considered to be a neighbor fall on the sidewalk, would you help them? Stand up. There you go.
There.
All right. Good job. Okay, she's standing up too. Good job, Kitty. Okay, next one. This should be an easy one. People who live in hot springs are your neighbors. Nobody thinks they're your neighbors, okay? You don't have to help people who wear funny clothes. If you agree with that, stand up. You're fine. There's no right or wrong answer. Okay? And people who are sitting beside you in church are your neighbors.
Aww. Okay.
Good job. Okay. All right. Let me ask you something. Who do you consider to be your neighbor? Well, but you didn't stand up when I asked you if people that live next door were your neighbors. I know. Y'all are still asleep, right? Okay. All right, I'll cut you some slack on that. Well, do you know what one of the commandments that God gave us was about your neighbors? Do you remember that one? What is it? Very good, Colin. Love your neighbor as yourself. And who are your neighbors? Everybody is our neighbor. So even if we don't consider the people that live next door to be our neighbors, if they came and sat by you in church, then you'd know that they were your neighbor, right? So if we love our neighbor as ourselves, does that mean that we're supposed to help and everybody is our neighbor? Are we supposed to help everybody? Yes, we are. Do y'all remember the story about the Good Samaritan? Did he help somebody? Did the Good Samaritan help somebody? And you know why Jesus told that story? Do you remember why he told that story? He told that story because he wanted people to know that everybody is our neighbor. And we should help everybody. Whether they live next door to us, or whether they have on funny clothes, or whether they sit next to us in church. Right? If we see somebody that needs something, we should help them. Right? Will y'all pray with me, please? Dear Jesus, we thank you for teaching us about who our neighbors are and about showing us how to love our neighbors and how to help each other. We thank you that you give us that example and that you help us every day to know that everybody is our neighbor, that we love and we help everybody because you showed us that. Help us each day to do as you everything that you've taught us. In your holy name, we give you thanks. Amen.
As we come before God as a united family of believers, let us remember all of those in need of prayer, the requests that have been spoken and those unspoken. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we have called you by many names in times of old. These names were given to allow us a connection to you, a connection that we as humans have made to gain a more personal relationship with you. You are our rock, provider, Almighty One, Shepherd, and Friend. Today we come before you as a family of believers and as individuals in need of healing. This healing may be physical or it may be emotional. Each request is lifted up to you as a collective prayer of hope. Hope that we allow ourselves to see and hear your response. Too often our lives become so busy that we forget what we were called to do. We forget to lift up others, to pray for those outside of our immediate circle. Now, during this time of peace and reconciliation, we bring before you all of those forgotten or overlooked requests. Lifted up is everyone around us, our neighbors in the pews, and those outside this church wall, those affected by the latest storms and tragedies around the world. The requests are too many to name, yet you know each one. Each thought that is lifted and heard is presented to you fresh and raw every moment of every day. For this, we are thankful for your grace and understanding that we have to make a point to stop and breathe, to make a point to remember that a childlike faith is what we have. The curiosity that brought us closer to you and closer to ourselves, you are our Yahweh Shalom. You have blessed us with the gift of love of others in many unique ways, each talent used to glorify and unify your kingdom. As this family of believers, we thank you and we continue to work to do your will, to do what is just and right for others, to use your strength and strengthen those around us. As our ancestors in belief began their prayer many years ago, so we end. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe. Throughout time, you have been our constant and our comfort. For this, you will continue to be, and for this, we are thankful. You chose us, God, with the excitement that we would love, learn, and grow, that we challenge ourselves daily with the reassurance that you are our strength. It is with you alone that we can act justly and walk humbly. Let us renew that promise of strength within ourselves as we say together the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For these gifts we have received, we return to you. May this offering be blessed. Amen.
Creator of the world.
Please remain standing for our hymn of meditation, I Love You, Lord. The words are in your bulletin, and we will sing them through twice.
Laity Sunday is purpose. We celebrate Laity Sunday because we are all called, all loving, and all experiencing God's rescuing and redeeming love in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So this morning, what I would like to do is try to talk a little bit about purpose and to think and talk about God's purpose in our life. And what a great place to start but Micah in chapter 6, verse 8. Now I'll be reading from the New International Revised Version, so it's a little different than what you'll have in yours, but please follow along. The Lord has shown what is good. He has told you what he requires of you. You must act with justice. You must love to show mercy. And you must be humble as you live in the sight of your God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So with that backdrop, what I would like to do and what I feel the Lord is leading this morning is to talk about the three tenets of that scripture in Micah. Living justly, loving to show mercy, and being humble in God's sight. Now we happen to have a real life example of that recently. The Amber Geiger trial in Dallas, Dallas police officer. Now the event and the tragedy is not what we want to focus on this morning. But as that trial ended, and the brother of the victim took the stand, and he acted humbly in the sight of his God, and he showed love and mercy that must have been most difficult because he had just lost his brother. He asked the judge if he could hug the defendant. That's very, very unusual, as you might imagine. The judge granted that. And the defendant and the victim's brother met in the middle of the courtroom and embraced. He told her that he loved her and he forgave her. Then the judge wiped tears from her eyes after she had pronounced sentence. She goes to her chamber and gets a Bible. She comes back into the courtroom, and the only ones in the courtroom are the family, the attorneys for the defendant, and the defendant. She first embraced the family, hugged them, showed them love and mercy. Then she turned to the defendant. She gave her a Bible. She called out John 3:16 and told her that the Lord forgave her and the Lord loved her, and they embraced. Two Christians that demonstrated Micah 6:8. It has gone viral on video, on social media. It's been on all the major news stations, and I heard an interview with a judge who has been criticized, as you might imagine, for not being impartial and all these other things that might take place. And she said, well, if we are to live justly, and we are to love and show mercy, and we are to be humble in our God's sight, how could I not reach out? What a Christian witness. Now think about that. Jesus was present in that courtroom at that time.
Amen.
And because they answered the call the way God would want them, thousands of people have been witnessed to. And who knows the replications that will continue through those lives, not just the ones in that courtroom. That's a real life example of what we have just seen of Micah 6:8. So what I would like to do is take the justice, the acting justly, providing love and mercy, and walking humbly in our God's sight, break those down, all three of them, and examine other scripture that points to those three tenets of this great verse. So what does it mean to live justly as a Christian? The book of James, I feel, offers the instruction that we would have as Christians. Again, I will read from the Bible. Don't just listen to the words. This is James 1, verses 22 through 27. Don't just listen to the word. You fool yourself if you do that. You must do what it says. Suppose someone listens to the word but doesn't do what it says. Then they are like a person who looked at their face in the mirror. After looking at themselves, they leave, and right away they forget what they look like. Continuing on in verse 25. But suppose someone takes a good look at the perfect law that gives freedom, and they keep looking at it. Suppose they don't forget what they've heard, but they do what the law says. Then this person will be blessed in what they do. Suppose people think their beliefs and how they live are both right, but they don't control what they say. Then they are fooling themselves. Their beliefs and way of life are not worthy of anything at all. Here are the beliefs and the way of life that God our Father expects as pure and without fault. When widows are in trouble, take care of them. Do the same for the children who have no parents. And don't let the world make you impure. So in other words, to act justly as a Christian, we need to act on our Bible study, on our prayer, on our service gathering. We have wonderful fellowship in this church. It's not just on Sunday, it's several days during the week, it's on the weekends, it's during our events. We have wonderful fellowship and family. Why do we hang on to it? Take it to the community, take it to the world. Take it to others. Let's act as a church, as Christians, justly in the community for other people. Take what we have here and what God has richly blessed us with, act justly, and take it to a world that so desperately needs God. That's acting justly. So let's move to the second tenet of Micah. What does love and to show mercy really look like? Well, we'll turn to Luke 10. A very, very familiar story. The backdrop of this story really begins a little ominously with a expert in the law, challenging Jesus. And he asked a simple question through the challenge after several attempts to trip Jesus up. Well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied with a familiar parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Robbers attacked him. They stripped off his clothes and beat him. Then they went away, leaving him almost dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed on the other side. A Levite also came by when he saw the man. He passed on the other side as well. But a Samaritan came to the place where the man was. When he saw the man, he felt sorry for him. He went to him. He poured olive oil and wine on his wounds and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his donkey. He brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took 2 silver coins. He gave them to the owner of the inn. Take care of him, he said. When I return, I will pay you back for an extra expense you might have. Jesus asked the lawyer at that point, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the robbers? The authority on the law replied, the one who felt sorry for him. And then Jesus gave the command. Jesus told him, go and do as he did. There's no doubt the Good Samaritan in that story provided love and mercy. He attended a man that was in great need that others had passed by. To be honest with you, upstanding people in the community, looked up to, purveyors of what they would believe to be the law and what God would have them do. Go and do as he did. Another admonishment to act. Act to be a Christian. A Christian is not someone that sits by or walks by or passes by. Opportunities abound us. Restaurants, gas stations, walking down the street. How many times do we see someone that looks a little troubled, but we don't ask, we don't stop? We're tied up in the speed and the haste of life. Being a Christian, showing love and mercy, is to act. Go and do as he did. The third tenet, being humble in the sight of your God. We'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. So make yourself humble. Put yourself under God's mighty hand, then he will honor you at the right time. Turn all your worries over to him. He cares about you. God cares for us. He wants us to humble ourselves in his presence. Not because he's a controlling God. Not because he wants adoration. He wants to help us. He wants to exalt us with our worship. When we're humble in the sight of God, we are trusting him that he will provide. Everything we have, he has provided. When we worship him and are humble in his sight, we acknowledge the fact that what we have, God has provided. When we're not humble, it's as if we're saying we do not trust God to take care of us, even though he so badly wants to take care of us. So, 3 scriptural examples of what living justly as a Christian, showing love and mercy as a Christian, and being humble as a Christian all mean. And they all have one central theme to them, is to act. Don't sit back. Worship God. Pray to God. Now, a few weeks ago, Joan and I were in Atlanta going to a baseball game. The game turned out pretty good. The playoff part later didn't, but the Braves played pretty good that day. We were leaving, and Joan pointed a t-shirt out to me in front that had a quote on the back of it. Your life is made up of two dates and a dash. Make the most of the dash. I like quotes. I often send quotes, quote of the week, on Monday morning to my staff. They've got a stack of them about that deep. I don't know how many of them they read. But I enjoy the messages that come from simple words and simple quotes. So this resonated with me to the point that I then researched that quote. And some of you may know about this. It was new to me at the time. But I found that the quote came from a poem written by Linda Ellis called The Dash. So I'd like to read that poem to you. The Dash by Linda Ellis. I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that the first came the date of birth and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between the years. For the dash represents all the time they spent alive on earth, and now only those who love them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard, all the things you'd like to change. For you never know how much time is left that still can be rearranged. To be less quick to anger and show appreciation more. Love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that that special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you lived your dash? As we reflect on our lives this morning, and we think about our relationship with God, please think about what the scriptures say and the examples given us and what we see on a daily basis about what it means to live as a Christian justly, to love others and show mercy, and to be humble in our God's sight. Let's make the most of what God has given us as individuals and as a church. Let us live out God's purpose in our life, as explained in Micah. And let's make the most of our dash while we can. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Don, for that loving message that we should all take to heart. Now, if you'll please stand for the affirmation of faith that's in your bulletin, and it's on page 887 in your hymnal. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
No. In all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As it was in my dream.
feel the fellowship of this church and want to join this church and membership, we welcome you to come down at this time. You will love the pastor. If you're feeling the Holy Spirit talking this morning, you need to pray or talk to someone, please come down and talk to you. We will pray with you. The Lord's present in our service this morning. Now's the time to act as we enter our church.
Of commitment, O Master, let me walk with thee, number 430 in your hymn.
Thank you.